Thank you, Dan. I do want to, before I begin, just a thanks to our staff and our leadership who have really, in a lot of ways, this week gone the extra mile to think about our response, to pray, to put a lot of things in motion behind the scenes. Well, these are certainly unusual days. They are very unprecedented days in my lifetime, and probably in most of your lifetimes. I know last week when our service ended, we knew of coronavirus. Certainly it had been the news for a while, but could we have thought that within a week things would move so fast where instead of meeting today together here, we're meeting together online. Grateful that we have that opportunity. And again, as I said in the welcome, we did not enter into this decision lightly. I do not believe we're doing it because we're afraid, but I do believe we're doing it because we want to be responsible. We want to love our neighbor, and we want to join in and do what we can to stop the transmission of this disease at its earliest stages here in our province. But when that decision was made that we would go online instead of gather, it caused me to have to make a few decisions. The first decision was, do I go out of our series? Does it make sense? We're in a series right now where we're seeing clearly the songs we sing, this idea of looking at the songs that when we gather Sunday by Sunday, we sing together, and look at what they say. And even in thinking about that decision, I had a conversation this week. Some of our church leaders were able to talk to some campus ministry workers, Power to Change, InterVarsity, Navigators were represented. And we asked the question, students who don't go to church, when they do, what do you hear from them? And one of the comments that came back is they find it kind of strange. Especially the part they find strange is that everyone stands up and sings. You don't see that anywhere. And that comment made me ask the question again, why do we do it? And in answering the question, why do we do it, I think it's important we say in the series. Why we do it is that together we declare who God is. Psalm 149, let me go to that. Verse 1 says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Is praise in the assembly of the faithful people. This idea of we're singing to the Lord and together we're declaring His praise. It's like we're declaring to one another, here's who God is. His Son Jesus is alive. God is alive. We declare, never once do we ever walk alone. God is with us. And we declare that now, even now, God is on the throne. That's why we sang. And in doing that, not only did we declare that to one another, but then with one another, we lifted this up to God as our statement of faith. We said, this is who we are. So before I go any further, I want to raise a couple questions in this message. One of the opportunities that comes in meeting online in homes is that when it's all over, whether you're meeting as a group of friends, family, a group of families, friends and families, whether you're alone, you have some time to talk about it, to think about it. And when my message is done, and then when the service is done, we'll have a list of four questions. The first one is this. What truths about God do we need to consciously declare to one another? An opportunity to just say, not only in our songs, but what truths about God do we need to remember in uncertain times like this? So that was decision one. Do I stay in the series? And I believe because it has us declaring who God is, it's the right place to be. the next question was, do I change songs? Do I find another song? But as I considered the song that was on tap for today and the preparation I had already been putting it into it, I thought, I don't know that I could find a better song than this one that we're going to look at today. It's the song 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's history. A guy named Matt Redman wrote it. And he says it's one of the songs he wrote that came together more quickly than any other. He had a friend named Jonas Mirren. Together they wrote it. Here's the words of Matt Redman. He said, my friend played me an idea for a little melody, and I found it immediately inspiring. In fact, it felt like a perfect fit for a song based on the opening of Psalm 103. What is Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What does that mean? What does it mean to bless the Lord? I think a lot of times we talk about God blessing us. And how then, if God blesses us, can we bless Him? It's interesting that Matt Redman was asked that. And rather than giving his own answer, he deferred to John Piper, a theologian. And John Piper says this. He says, when we talk about God blessing us, we're typically talking about God enriching our lives in some way. God seeing a need and meeting it. And he says, certainly when we say, bless the Lord, it is different. We're not adding to God. We're not enriching Him in any way. We're simply recognizing that in His richness, in His bounty, this is who He is. And we're expressing our thanks and our praise. Another theologian, Warren Wiersbe, or another commentary, says this. When God blesses us, He sees our need and responds to us. When we bless God, we see His character, His excellencies, and we respond to Him. So it's this idea that we have a God who blesses us, enriches us, walks with us. To bless Him is to look up and say, yes, this is all from You. What a needed thing to do at a time of uncertainty. Instead of keeping our eyes around at the uncertainty, we look up to God. That's what it means to bless the Lord. We look up to Him, at who He is, and see the goodness of His hand, no matter what's going on. It's profoundly a psalm and a song about a mindset and a posture of gratitude. Looking up, leaning in to God and who He is. So with that being the case, let's just walk through the psalm and Psalm 103 alongside and see what God is saying to us about this posture, this need to bless God in gratitude. What does it mean to have gratitude to God in uncertain times? Well, first thing we see it is indeed a mindset. It's a very conscious and a very intentional mindset. Something we probably won't do by default. There's a difference between saying something's a good idea, I should do it, and actually having a mindset that has me do it. I thought for quite a while it'd be a really good idea for me to go use our treadmill more often. But there's 1,001 things vying for my time and my attention, and it doesn't happen. Eventually, I need a mindset that says, self, get downstairs. Self, do what you know you need to do. And I think this is the sense that gets picked up in both the song and the psalm, certainly because the song is based on the Psalm 103. So we go to the chorus where we start 10,000 Reasons. It says this, bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before
O my soul.
I'll worship your holy name. It's like to sing the song is to say, soul, remember, bless God. Soul, remember, worship God. That's what it's saying. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. David the psalmist is saying, all that is within me, soul, bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, if there's ever anyone who had 1,001 things vying for his attention, it was David, and David wrote this song. How easy would it have been for David to say, when I get around to it, in the midst of everything I got to deal with, the uncertainty, the war that's going on now, this little crisis in my kingdom, this little thing that's going on here, how easy for him to say, when I get around to it, oh yeah, I'll remember to look up. But instead he says, no. Soul, for me to know God's inner strength and presence and peace, I need to look up. And I need to bless you, God. The question comes as to, what are some ways to do that? I think Matt Redman picks up on a way in the first verse. It goes like this. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I don't know about you, but I read that verse and I thought, can there be a better verse for us to sing in these kind of times? And it reminds us, when the day starts, how do we start it? And when the sun goes down, what are our last reflections? Psalm 92 tells us what they should be. Psalm 92, 1 and 2, it is good to praise the Lord. Make music to your name, O Most High. And then verse 2, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Wow. How do your mornings start? It is so easy to start our mornings in this day of information on our news feeds, social media. What's the latest that comes through? And we're waking up already going, ah! Or we can wake up and lift our eyes up and proclaim the love of God. That no matter what happens today, God loves me. And a good God is on the throne and I can trust Him. What might that look like for us in the morning before all the 1,001 messages focusing on? And then to declare His faithfulness at night. How do you end your day? When your head goes on the pillow, is it reeling? Or is it time to go, okay, God, where have I seen your hand today? How do I count your faithfulness in this day? Through both the good and the difficult. As I've been working on this week, something I've tried to do is, as I've laid my head on the pillow, what are 5 ways in which I have seen the faithfulness of God? I just recount them. And it helps us see His blessing. It reminds us of who He is. This is a practice not just for uncertain times, but all the time. So here's a question I leave you with to talk about after the service. Our second question. Why do we need to be intentional in expressing our gratitude and praise to God? Why is it something we need to tell ourselves? Soul? Praise God. Thank God. And then the second question. How might we intentionally and practically use our getting up and our nighttime to review and focus and refocus on God? Especially in these times. Okay, we'll list all these questions for you later. But that's it. Why do we need to be intentional? And what might that look like? And how can we use our getting up and our going to bed? The times to refocus. Because maybe those are the two times the 1,001 things are a little at bay. And we can get centered. Okay, so gratitude is a mindset. The second thing the song reminds us that comes right from the psalm is that gratitude to God, it really has no limit. It's another way to say there is so much to be thankful for that when we really start thinking of who God is and all He's done and all He's promised to do, we'll come up with 10,000 reasons plus fact, Mad Redman and his friend Jonas Muren looked at Psalm 103. They see that it's really a list of things to thank God for, to bless Him for. And they said as they made their own list, they, quote, were barely scratching the surface. There's like 10,000 reasons, plus. And so they come up with that second verse. You're rich in love. You're slow to anger. Your name is great. Your heart is kind. And then it's like they run out of verse, so they kind of have to summarize. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Well, Psalm 103 doesn't give us 10,000 reasons, but it gives us quite a few. So let me just go over a few of these reasons. First one's in verse 5. Bless God who satisfies your desires with good things. There are so many good things that we have. But we get blinders. It's almost like we're like that child who's got a plate of food that mostly he or she likes. And there's even a bowl of ice cream, but all we can see is the broccoli that we have to eat to get to the ice cream. And David is saying, maybe let's look at the plate. And let's look at the loving hand of God who gave us this plate. Who satisfies us with good things. This really hit me this week. I came across a prayer that came from our denomination. And I actually prayed the prayer on the announcement we made on our website if you want to hear the whole thing. But there's just a few lines, I think, that speak to this so much. The first line is, may we who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake. Wow. There's going to be a lot of inconvenience in these days. And we can focus there. We can recognize there are those way more inconvenienced than us. And thank God for what He's provided. Here's another line. May we who have to cancel our trips remember those that have no place to go. That's safe. Or this one. May we who settle in for quarantine at home or have to stay at home because what we wanted to go to is canceled and we're frustrated. May we remember those who have no home. There's a lot to be thankful for. I know Friday was kind of a chaotic day in our stores. But we have stores. And those stores have food. And yes, they'll even restock their toilet paper. We have so much. We have incredible medical personnel that God has gifted, given knowledge and wisdom to. And from the personnel, we do get accurate information and places to go in the midst of the chaos and the misinformation. What about just simply having a church community to lean in? None of us have to be isolated. We're a phone call away from saying, how you doing? He satisfies us with good things. The second whole area of blessing, he guides us. We go to verse 7. He's made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. We're not left alone to figure this out. God's given us His Word. God's given us His Spirit. God's given us a reminder that He's in control in His Word. All these songs we sing are His revelation of Himself to us, that He is on the throne. And even He will guide us day by day. You know, I think sometimes we just see so far out, and what am I going to do? What are the what ifs? And God is saying, I will guide you day by day. Trust me. At the end of the day, if you're looking for my faithfulness, I'll guide your thoughts. If you're asking a question we'll raise later, how can I actually be the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus to those struggling at this time? I'll guide you. Ask me. Walk with me. He makes known to us His ways. And then the third area, and this is the big one, He's dealt with the biggest issue. Verses 8 to 10. They go like this. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Rather than leave us on our own, these verses, David is saying that side of the cross, that God is going to forgive. And we're this side of the cross, where because of what Jesus did when He died, we are restored to Him. You know, I think one of the biggest things that a pandemic or a crisis like this reveals is how much we as humans want control. We want to be God. And we find out we're not. But these verses I've just read remind us that while we are not at all in control, we're in relationship with the One who is. Because of His Son, Jesus. And that's where our hope is. And because of that, I think one of the greatest testimonies we can have is to bring our relationship with Jesus practically into our day-by-day living, the non-anxious presence of Jesus. As we just say, God, You've taken care of my deepest need. You're with me. You're going to provide me. That is going to speak. God has given us a lot. There are 10,000 reasons plus. So when the message and the service is over, here's a third thing I'd like you to talk about. Not so much a question, but take some time to share with one another. If you're alone, make a list. That for which you're thankful to God in these uncertain times. Rather than focusing on the broccoli, just make a list together of all that you're thankful for. And then just spend some time lifting that to God. I think you'll be amazed in doing that, how God lifts you yourself to Him. One more area about gratitude is the mindset. It's a choice. There really is no limit as we focus on the goodness of God. But thirdly, it's eternal. It is eternal. God is on the throne and He's got an eternal plan. To set it up, a story I heard a while back, this very young person in the Navy, on his first submarine trip, being told they were about to go through an area that was going to require a lot of maneuvers, and even though he heard that, was very surprised at just how much action there was and where the submarine seemed to be going, and in his anxiety he didn't know what to do, and it was obvious that he was really, really uptight. And an older, wiser sailor came along and said, "Just head up to the bridge. See how it's going up there." This young sailor, as he got to the bridge, all he did was look at the captain. The captain looked back at him and smiled and nodded. And he knew that was enough. The young soldier comes back down, and the more seasoned sailor says, "How's it going up there?" And he said, "You know what? I saw the face of the captain. We're going to be okay." I believe what David is doing in Psalm 103, and that Redmond and Mirren pick up in "Bless the Lord, O My Soul," what they're doing is helping us see the face of the captain. And that He is very much on the wheel and very much in control. And this plan is eternal. And so in their third verse, they write this: "And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near, my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending." Even the end in this life is not the end to God. Why? Because there's 10,000 years to come and then forevermore. It's interesting they use that 10,000 years as a nod to the old hymn, "Amazing Grace." "Many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. To grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home, because the captain is on the throne." Heaven is not in panic right now. Revelation 4 tells us right now what's going on in heaven and will be going on for all eternity. Revelation 4 has this picture. It's a throne room. It talks about the 24 elders, a lot of mystery here. And it says this: Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 upon 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and then the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and glory and praise." And I just read Revelation 5. So I'll go back to 11. And we get this same thing where the elders in Revelation 4 are saying in verse 11, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Revelation 5, Revelation 4, it's the same picture. Around the throne, there is one seated on the throne, even now seated on the throne. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Only He is in control. He is worthy of it all because He created us all, and He is bringing history to its fulfillment. And this raises questions. God is in control. Why do these things happen? I can't give you perfect answers at all. But here's what I can tell you. This is a fallen world. It's coming a day when it's all going to be different. In fact, that's Psalm 103, verse 3. We're blessing the Lord. Why? Because He heals all our diseases, forgives all our sins, heals all our diseases. There's a day coming, and God is moving toward it to restore us to a day where there'll be no more pandemics and earthquakes and all of that. But we're not there yet. And why these specific things happen, there's mystery to that. But here's what's not a mystery, and it's this. God walks with us in it. The God of Christianity, the God revealed in Christ, is not immune or separate from our suffering. But He's entering into it, walking with us in the disease, longing to bring restoration in a day when there will be no more disease. But where does that leave us now as we think of God's eternal control? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll start at verse 18. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." I think an easier word for reconciliation is restoration. God has restored us to Himself. And now He's calling us into a world to say He wants to restore you too. And then verse 19, He says this, "God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation." He has committed to us now the amazing privilege in uncertain times and all times to be His representative, His hands, His feet, His heart, His voice. What does it look like to be the hands and the feet, the messengers and the message of His restoration? Letting people know that there is a God on the throne. There's a day coming when all will be restored, and even now God is up to a restorative work. You're not alone. He's with you. And He wants to deal with the deepest issue in your heart so that you need not fear. How can we be His ministers of restoration? This is something we need to talk about and think about. Here's a few ideas. First of all, can we pray specifically? It's one thing to pray for the pandemic. Who are the specific people you know that are impacted? Whose lives, because of their jobs or because of their circumstances, really are turned upside down right now. Pray for them. Let them know you're praying for them. They might not even be believers. Just say, "Hey, thinking of you. And I don't know if you believe in prayer, but I do. I'm praying for you." I saw one person post on Facebook this week, just to all her friends. Okay? A lot who aren't believers. Just saying, "Hey, it's a weird time. I'm praying. If you want me to pray for you, let me know. And beyond that, if there's something practical I can do, let me know." What about having your ear to the ground? Maybe there are some people you know who have to stay at home for a while. And rather than add to the mass hysteria of having to have 14 days worth of supplies, maybe you can say, "You know what? I'll do your shopping. I'll drop things off at your door." Or what are ways of just entering into people's fearful conversation and just saying, "No, I'm not afraid. Here's why." this is something I'm going to invite you to talk about after or think about. So question number four is this. What are some practical ways we can extend God's heart of love and restoration to those around us during these times? Especially to those who do not yet have a relationship with Christ. Who are the isolated? Who are the hurting? Who are the ones in need? Who are the afraid? What does it look like to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? Well, these are interesting times. In our lifetime, somewhat unprecedented. But they're not surprising times to God. And whether it's through the song, Bless the Lord, which we're going to sing in just a little while, or even more deeply through the psalm that it's based on, we're called to look up and recognize that God is not surprised, not wondering what to do next. He's very much on the throne. His love and His goodness are intact. He is with us as His people. But He's with us also that we might now be His hands and His feet for those around us in these times. May we be the church, anchored as people who bless God as He so abundantly blesses us. Let's pray. God, thank You that You are who You are, the great I am. God, that at all levels, You are involved in all that's going on around us. But we know You walk with the hurting. And Your heart, God, is that people turn to You. And that You call us to be the message and the messengers by how we live, by what we say. So God, first of all, may Your message, Your hope, Your truth go deep into our hearts. Deep into our hearts. Because we need You. Father, as we sing these songs, bless the Lord. Amazing grace. And You are worthy. You are on the throne. We declare to one another through all the digital stuff that we come as a community scattered among homes to say You are worthy of our blessing. You are God of grace. You are worthy of our lives and our trust in these days. We worship You.